morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago here until 5 a.m. It's Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in. One artist, three songs. We'll play them later, 312-981-7200. After the 2 o'clock news, our good buddy Ian Schur is going to join us. Ian is a news editor-at-large at CNET.com. We talk to him usually about once a month to talk all things tech. Always a lot of tech talk in the news, and it's always a lot of fun to talk to Ian from CNET.com, which is a terrific website. So that's coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And here we go. And but that music you heard is from a film called Solstice, which was put together by Jerry Vassalatos, who's been on the show several times. Jerry, welcome back.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to see you.
How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic.
Good. Good, good, good. So Solstice is 25 years old.
It's 25 years old, and it's been winning awards in film festivals this year for the remastered and restorative edition.
That's fantastic.
I never imagined that could happen, but it's happening, and I'm eternally grateful and proud of it.
That's really great. Well, listen, let's start with you.
Sure.
You're from Chicago.
Yeah.
You went to Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were always into, you've always wanted to make films, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And how did your interest start? When you were a kid, were you just a movie freak?
Well, when I was a kid, my dad used to bring home 16mm films from the library that we projected in the basement on a white sheet. And that's where the bug bit me as far as loving movies and being very interested in figuring out and discovering how I could become a filmmaker, tell stories in that medium.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we didn't have 16mm. We were just, you know, everybody had it. We had Super 8.
Yeah, well, we had. He played Super 8 movies too.
Yeah,
he used to work at the old Bell and Hall company.
And he
designed the projector casing, so he would bring home the projectors that he had a hand in designing, and we'd have Super 8, and then we'd have the 16mm, and then that, of course, led eventually to VHS that replaced all that.
Right,
a larger market of films was available.
Right. Yeah. Well, now I remember. I have great memories of the old Super 8 stuff because I used to have. You know, we had a ton of. I bought a bunch of Three Stooges. Edited shorts, and they would only run about 4 minutes, if that, right? 4 or 5 minutes?
They would. That's actually the medium I learned on in high school.
Was 8mm?
Super 8, yeah.
Yeah, Super 8?
Neutra High School had a filmmaking class, and we were actually shooting on Super 8 film, cutting on these little editing blocks.
I was going to say, how do you cut that?
With a magnifying glass, because, you know, the frame is so small.
Yeah.
But actually being able to handle film, even with the, you know, smaller Super 8 cameras,
yeah.
Kind of led to me learning how to write screenplays,
yeah.
Direct, and then edit, and then take that into film school.
We used to have they would edit down horror movies too. I remember, was it Castle?
Castle Films.
Yeah, Castle Films.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of those Castle Films, and I remember one of my favorites was their shortened, you know, 4 minute edit of Frankenstein versus the Wolfman.
That's a great one.
And my dad used to he would play around with the projector because there's a part of the movie where the Wolfman jumps off of like a big, you know, they're fighting in the.
I remember the film. Yeah,
they're fighting in the Frankenstein laboratory.
Yeah.
In the castle.
Yeah,
and at one point he jumps off. There's like a, you know, the flood comes in, and he's on top of a giant piece of machinery, and he jumps off of it and tackles Frankenstein. And my dad used to play it reverse and forward and reverse and forward, and the Wolfman would jump off, jump back, jump off, jump back. And that, when I was a little kid, that just destroyed me.
Just made you laugh. I remember Black Hawk films also. That was the only way you could see Star Wars.
That's
before
right.
Home video.
Oh, that's right.
I wore that Super 8 reel out.
I bet, man. I bet. You know, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, we go from like the 16mm into the VHS and beta, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll have him on tomorrow. My video guy Jeff Tuckman comes in. He's been a part of the show for I can't even tell you how many years he's been a part of the show. And so we always reminisce about the old days, you know, before DVDs and Blu-ray and all this and 4K and all this stuff. The first video stores. You know, the little
mom and pop
video stores.
Yep.
And then I was always amazed by the fact that there was the only way to get, I think it was Paramount movies, was the only way to get them was to go to Photomat. You had there were very early days.
You mean the video label Paramount was only available at Photomat?
I can't remember the studio, but there was one studio that was available. I don't know if it was Paramount, but it was a major studio.
Yeah.
And it was one studio that was only available if you went to your local Photomat.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. And I just remember one of the movies that was only available at the Photomat, and every one of the advertisings that we do, the big one was The Clonus Horror.
I don't even remember that film.
Yeah, this is a film from the 70s.
This was a horror film?
Yeah, it was about, like it was cloning. You know, okay. It was about cloning. The clone is horror. and I remember wanting to go to Photomat just to get the clone is horror. Because we were very early to our family, you know, because my parents went out and got a VCR at a very young age because I've been in the movies since I was born. And so they were like, look at this, well, let's go get it. And I think they paid like $1,800 for it.
Oh, they were incredibly expensive. And before films became widely available on VHS, you know, you were dealing with, I remember there was a store in Wilmette where I grew up. It was a TV repair store. And, you know, in the back room, they had bootlegs. We got Raiders of the Lost Ark before it was released. Somehow or another, they were able to get these bootleg copies of these movies that we just loved.
It's funny because I had a bootleg of Raiders of the Lost Ark too. It had just come out in theaters. Yeah, it came out in the summer of '81. And in September of '81, I got a bootleg copy.
It was scandalous to have bootlegs back then.
Oh, it's completely. But there was a really there's a beef shop, and I think the Statue of Limitations is up. There's a beef shop on Cicero and Montrose called Roma's, and they have actually one of the best Italian beefs that you can get in this city. It's fantastic, and I've been eating there, you know, since I was in high school. It's you know, Montrose and it's on Cicero near Montrose. Mm. And there was a shady guy that used to work there. He didn't run it or anything. He was just a dude that used to work there. And I had a buddy of mine that I went to high school with who also worked there and told me, hey, this guy, he can get you Escape from New York.
Oh my God!
He can get you Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And he did, and they were terrible copies.
Of course, but I mean if you couldn't afford to go to the movie theater
I used to watch both of those. I had Escape from New York and I had Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I watched them over and over again.
And I bet you wore them out.
Absolutely, no, and you could.
You could, yeah, you could.
So you've been a lover of movies your whole life.
Pretty much.
Tell me about how your career in the movie business began.
My career in the movie business began with this film that we're talking about for its 25th anniversary, Solstice. I came out of film school with a passion to make a film. I, in a strange twist of fate, came into the resources financially to be able to produce my first movie.
Right.
So I took that money and I wrote, produced, and directed this film that I really just wanted to use as a calling card for film festivals to prove that I could direct movies, because I didn't expect anyone was going to give me money to make a movie. So
yeah.
I put my money where my mouth was and produced it. By the time I went through about $130,000 of this personal injury settlement that I referenced a moment ago, my friends were kind of taking me by the hand and saying, Jerry, film festivals are great, but you need to try to make some of your money back. So maybe you should see if you can find a sales agent to find out how to distribute it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hooked up with an old instructor of mine at Columbia who taught exhibition and distribution, a gentleman named Dave Sikich, and showed him the film, and he and his partner John Iltis repped Hoop Dreams.
John Iltis.
Do you remember John?
I do.
Yeah, I've been in touch with them since I've been
great man.
Working on
his PR company.
Man.
I had when I was back in the 80s when I first started being a film critic, I saw John.
He was everywhere in Chicago.
Everywhere in Chicago, and also fantastic facial hair. We were talking about
he
facial
does.
Hair.
He still has it too.
Yeah,
I think.
John Iltis, a great guy. I love John.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well,
guy.
Well, both of them looked at the movie and enjoyed it, but were concerned because it was only 48 minutes. And I said, well, the story told itself in 48 minutes, so I guess that's going to be it. And they said, no, you have an opportunity, even though you can't get theatrical on this, we can't take it to festivals for theatrical, we know a producer's rep that does TV. So they put me in touch with another gentleman named Shel Bugan.
Mm-hmm.
He had a company called Video Media Distribution, and he pitched it at the time to Showtime, USA, and Lifetime Television. And at that time, Lifetime wanted to have an original Christmas movie affiliated with their network. But they had,
and now that's all they're affiliated.
That's all they do now. Well, this movie kicked off that tradition because they hadn't commissioned a production company to produce something. So here's my producer's rep with a 48-minute movie, fills an hour time slot. They stamped Lifetime original movie on it, and it kicked off that annual tradition of having an original holiday film associated with the network.
Yeah. It's amazing how that is such a big thing now. And they battle with Hallmark.
Yeah.
It's like Lifetime and Hallmark have their Christmas battles, and they start like in October.
Yep.
And they make original. I mean, now they make like 30 or 40.
Do.
It's 30 or 40 a year.
That's all they
make.
I actually approached Lifetime, you know, telling them, hey, I don't know if you remember, but this was the first movie, 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were looking more for I guess, romantic film, more contemporary romantic films.
That's pretty much what every one of
those
things.
That's all they are, and that's fine. I mean, I completely accept and understand that.
Yeah.
So here I am, you know, promoting this 25th anniversary restoration for people who love Christmas movies that may not have seen it 25 years ago. It looks better, sounds better than it did when we originally produced it, and that has to do with restoring and remastering the film and adding a new orchestral score.
I want to talk about that. And I remember you went to where did you go to get
Budapest, Hungary.
Budapest. You went to Budapest to get to finish the score.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take a quick break. I want to talk more about the restoration, how people can get it, and all that cool stuff. The movie is called Solstice. Jerry Vassalatos is the filmmaker, and we'll take a quick break and talk more about it right after this on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 o'clock. Coming up after the 2 o'clock news, Ian Schur is going to join us. He's a news editor-at-large for CNET.com. CNET.com is your tech website that you have to go to keep up on what's happening and reviews of everything. It's a great website. We always talk tech with him. That's coming up. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. Again, that music that you heard is from a film called Solstice, the director, producer and writer of that movie is here live in studio, Jerry Vassalatos. Jerry, welcome back.
And I want to give credit to my amazing composer, Balint Shepson, who composed that new score and is a big part of why I think the film has reached new audiences. I mean, he's helped breathe new life into this by, it was a 25-piece orchestra in Budapest scoring this.
And, that's amazing.
And putting the music to it that I wanted 25 years ago, but couldn't afford at the time. So we replaced the old synth score. And this is a new score. I mean, this isn't like redoing the old music.
Yeah.
This is a completely originally composed new score.
That's beautiful. Now, listen, we have you were kind enough to bring four copies of the movie that we can give away right now.
DVDs, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, we got some DVDs of Solstice, which at this time of year is perfect, perfect to win. So let's do this. First four callers, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Get a copy of Solstice on DVD. It's restored and remastered, and it's a wonderful Christmas movie. First of all, first four callers 1 through 4 will win copies of the DVD of Solstice. It's 312-981-7200. Tell everybody about the plot of the movie, just briefly, without giving anything away.
Sure. Well, it's a story about a young man on Christmas Eve who is a bit despondent, not quite happy with his lot in life, seeing things around him that kind of amplify his sense of solitude and loneliness. And this journey he has on a very cold Christmas Eve, where he encounters a variety of characters, people he knows, people he doesn't know, that help him discover what the holidays are truly about.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is.
And there's a romantic storyline in it. Mm-hmm. My two leads, Michael Kelly and Mary McLeod, are just phenomenal actors. I was in touch with them last year when I was out in Los Angeles filming interviews for the bonus content for the Blu-ray that's coming out in December.
Yeah.
And it was like picking up from where we left off and a wonderful trip down memory lane.
That's good. Can you believe it's been 25 years?
No. And while I was restoring the film, first of all, we rescanned the original 16mm negative from the camera to get a 2K scan to get the perfect picture quality. But then I had to go into reconstructing the audio because the original mixes from the 1990s were on digital formats of which you cannot find the equipment anymore to like read the data. So I actually went into the reel-to-reel audio tapes, field tapes, to reconstruct and resync everything. And as I was finding the right takes to align with picture, I was hearing, chatter between takes. It was like a time machine.
Yeah.
Going back in time, hearing us on set talking between takes.
Yeah, that must be weird.
It was weird, but it was I guess, somewhat fulfilling that 25 years later, my feeling was that I could represent it to new audiences. And all the work we did back then, I had a crew of Columbia students helping on it. It was a miracle project then. And I feel like it's a miracle now that it's been winning awards and festivals this year for the score and best drama, helping to put it in front of people again to rediscover.
That's great. That's really great. It's nice that a movie 25 years later still has some life to it,
One of the things I've been really proud about is that people who've seen it now, reflecting on it, say, okay, it was set in the 90s, but it's not a 90s movie. Everybody has 90s haircuts, 90s clothes.
Right, right.
But the themes that the characters are dealing with are as relevant today as they were then, if not more so. And I think that's what I'm proudest of. I didn't imagine back then I'd be making something that would still hold up 25 years later. But, but the acting and the performances and the themes in the film, I think this is what resonates with people.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I'm really glad that you are able to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Solstice. And thank you for bringing the four copies in. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
What are you working on now? What's next?
Well, I'm presently in development on a film called Shelter Me.
Which we talked about the last time.
We did, yeah. And actually, I've got a little bit more traction on that. Shelter Me is a screenplay that's been winning awards and scriptwriting competitions all year, which has helped us put it in front of people at CineSpace Studios and a group called Chicago Media Angels, and we're basically trying to put the pieces together on that. That's what I'm moving into next after I wrap up this last leg of the Solstice 25th anniversary. The film is going to be on Amazon Prime. It's dropping on Amazon Prime next Wednesday, November 27th. Solstice is going to be on Amazon Prime November 27th, and the Blu-rays will be available December 15th. That have got a couple of extra hours of bonus materials and interviews and behind-the-scenes content newly produced this year to really be the most comprehensive look at like how this little miracle movie came together. And I have a pre-sale campaign for it right now on Indiegogo, but that link is too long to share. If you go to solsticeblu-ray.com, it will take you to the Indiegogo page where you can get the new Blu-ray, and we'll be delivering those the week of December 15th so people have it to watch for Christmas time.
That's perfect. Solsticeblu-ray.com.
Solsticeblu-ray.com, and the movie site, of which the Blu-ray link is at also, is solsticemovie.com. People
solsticemovie.com.
Can visit the site and read everything they might be interested in what went into this film.
Well, it's such a great story, Jerry. To 25 years later be here back on the show talking about it, I'm sure you must be incredibly proud of this movie.
I'm glad that I can. I never imagined that I would be revisiting this film, and the reason I ended up revisiting it was because the old standard definition version just didn't look right for HDTV, and that's what inspired going into the negative and restoring it so that people could finally see it again, because I didn't want to show them the old standard definition version because it looked bad.
Yeah.
And now that it's been cleaned up digitally, I mean, I literally frame by frame was removing dirt, scratches, dust, before having it recolor graded and the sound remixed and remastered and rescored. So it really honestly looks better now than it did back then. And if people love Christmas movies and are looking for something new, but traditional, I think they'll enjoy this.
Okay. So Solstice, you can go to solsticeblu-ray.com, solsticemovie.com. Jerry, always a pleasure. Congratulations on everything.
I really appreciate it.
All right. And we have our four winners already. And
fantastic.
So,
enjoy the film.
It didn't take very long. All right, Jerry, thanks again. And thanks, have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. We'll be back after this.